Father, I thank you. As always, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be. Let that light shine even today in our hearts. Give us revelation knowledge concerning what you are saying, what the Spirit is saying to us at this time. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome again. Good afternoon, wherever you are. Praise the Lord. It's a blessed day. I welcome and honor every one of you that's in the room, those who are in our VIP listening lounge. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Those who are on stage, thank you as well. As we go through the room, you will have opportunity to share. And as always, John chapter 6 and verse 63. I invite you to engage the lesson in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that we will hear today from the Lord, they are Spirit and they are life. As we engage him in the Spirit, God will give us even more revelation and more understanding. Today, we are talking on the wisdom pillar of knowledge. We started the wisdom series sometime last week or so. We did the or a couple weeks ago, I don't know. We did the seven attributes of wisdom. Now we are doing the pillars of wisdom. We started with a summary. Then we did the fear of the Lord. Then we did prudence. Today we're going to be covering knowledge. Again, those seven pillars that we are addressing on this platform as the pillars of wisdom, those are knowledge, prudence, understanding, discretion, counsel, sound judgment, and the fear of the Lord. Not necessarily in that particular order, but our KUPDCSF acronym will help you to remember that. Let's get right to today's lesson. Knowledge as a pillar of wisdom. Remember, wisdom has built her house and honed out her seven pillars. We talked about pillars in a house. They are load-bearing columns that hold up the structure of the house. And whenever we see cracks in the house, most of the time it can be traced to a defect in the pillars. So these cracks, there may be some cracks in our life due to lack of these pillars in our life. Or maybe the pillars need to be strengthened. Strengthening comes from hearing the word again and again and understanding how to apply these things into our lives. Oftentimes, these cracks may lead to regrets, delays, disappointments, failures, sickness, lack of advancement, even severe losses. May lose our job or wealth. People end up in even broken relationships or marriages because of all these things due to sometimes lack of wisdom. So as we strengthen these pillars, these seven pillars hold up and give strength to the house that wisdom builds. Today, knowledge as a pillar of wisdom. And I will give some definitions, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. So this is kind of a Bible class, you know, not the preaching style. So I'm going to give a lot of scriptures, which is what I like to do. That's my style. So we'll start here at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. Right away, we see that knowledge is counted here and related immediately with wisdom. We are mentioning here that knowledge is a pillar of wisdom. And let's see how he brings it out here in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. We covered prudence already. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. So we see that knowledge right away is associated with wisdom. Well, let's see some other things about knowledge. It is the capacity that leads to witty inventions and discoveries. You know, that's what it says right here in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. Knowledge is what leads to inventions and discoveries. You know, now let's give a definition of knowledge. Knowledge can be defined as facts, information, awareness, comprehension, familiarity, intelligence, and skills acquired by a person through experience or learning. That's a lot. Some of it I got from the dictionary. Some of these things I added my own, which the Holy Spirit gave me. So facts, information, awareness, comprehension, familiarity, intelligence, and skills acquired by a person through experience or learning. You can see that that's a lot right there. Knowledge can also be viewed as the capacity to use the acquired information to inspire the mind to create solutions. Hallelujah. Now that's powerful. It's the capacity to use acquired information to inspire our minds to create solutions. I mean, great inventors and great people that have come up with various things in the past and are still doing so. This is it. This is the secret. They have the capacity to use information they acquire from different sources to inspire their minds to create solutions to whatever, whatever the challenge is that they are trying to solve. It could be technology. It could be in industry. It could be whatever. It could be medical. It could be science. You know, it takes knowledge to discover and inspire the mind, you know, to create solutions. Now listen to this. At the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about in these pillars of wisdom. But right here, I'm putting this one out. At the corridors of influence in the world, knowledge is the king. If you don't have knowledge, well, you're going to be at a disadvantage. Wisdom builds the house. Understanding establishes it. But it is by knowledge that the chambers are filled with precious and pleasant things. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 24. Verses 3 and 4. This is very key for us to understand this. It said, through wisdom is an house builded. So we know that wisdom builds a house. By understanding, it is established. You know, you build a house by wisdom, you establish it by understanding. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Well, so you build a house, the house may be established, but it may still be empty. If you don't have knowledge to bring in and to acquire the riches and pleasant things, the house may remain empty. So knowledge is so powerful. You can see the relationship here between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Powerful scripture here in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. So knowledge is what will bring treasures into our lives. Now, this same truth about knowledge and so forth, how it brings things out, you know, is even revealed about, you know, with God's actions during the creation of the world. I mean, he founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding, but it was by his knowledge, folks. It was by his knowledge that he hid treasures in the earth. And it takes knowledge to on earth and discover those things which God has hidden in the depths of the earth. Wow. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 19 to 20. It says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. And by understanding he has established the heavens. But by his knowledge the depths are broken up." So he broke up the depths, hid certain things inside the depths of the earth, treasures which people have to dig for many, a lot of digging, mining and stuff to come to those precious stones. They are not left on the surface. It took the wisdom and the knowledge of God to hide those things very deep inside the earth. And it's going to take knowledge to get them out of there. So the Lord also even showing us how he uses knowledge to hide things, and this is the wisdom of God in the way he put his knowledge and put things out there. And it's for us to find those things, even men who have done, mining expeditions and various things like that. It took them a lot of sometimes months, sometimes years, to find treasures that are hidden in the earth. And the Lord put them that like that. You need knowledge, you need understanding to search those things out. Lord, put them out there so that we can value those things. The things that we find on the surface, they're not as valuable as the things that are hidden deep down in the depths of the earth. And when God was speaking to Job, let's see what he said to him in the first two verses of Job 38. "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" So God is even challenging Job here. Show me your knowledge. Let me see if you can hold your own. Glory to God. And he began to ask him all these things. "Guide up thy loins now like a man. And I will demand of thee, answer me in knowledge if you know it. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you know it? Declare it if you have understanding." They begin to ask him so many things. Who had laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, that's knowledge. Where did I stretch the line? Where did I lay the foundations or fasten it? Tell me if you have the knowledge. God began to challenge him. So we see how powerful knowledge is. Now let's go on. It takes diligence and dedication to acquire knowledge. Lazy people can't acquire knowledge. Knowledge must be sought. We'll find this in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Let's look at that quickly. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5 says, "If thou criest after knowledge," well, crying after it means you're seeking it, "lift your voice for understanding. Seek her as silver. Search for her as hid treasures." Remember, we were just talking about the treasures that God hid in the earth. "And all this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Also, let's look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. "A lot of knowledge and understanding about things of wisdom in this book of Proverbs." He said, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." So you got to seek it. We can't just, sit down and think that knowledge is going to come to us. It does not work that way. But don't go away. There's many more for us to see about the capacity to learn and to seek out all knowledge. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13. We're going to bring out, you know, some secrets here as we get deeper into this lesson. This man said, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Well, some people think it's a sore travail, you know, because they don't want to do it. But, you know, those who are exercising these things, they are the people that come out with great, great inventions and great things. They seek out knowledge. This man said, I gave my heart to seek out knowledge of everything. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means you don't have to be an expert in everything, but you should have a little knowledge about everything. You might be an expert in one of two things, but you should have knowledge. I mean, we shouldn't be without knowledge. You know, we should know a little about everything, you know, so that, you know, you have some understanding on what's going on. Knowledge is so important, even in the ministry. Paul gave advice to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man that Paul was mentoring. He was a young pastor. And Paul said to him, look, you need to grow your knowledge bank. So that's another punchline. It's a punchline for this morning. Grow your knowledge bank so that people will not despise you. In the case of Timothy, he had to deal with different age groups and even people that were older than him and so forth. And, you know, if he's standing in their midst trying to teach the aged and the wise men, they're going to despise you if you don't have knowledge. Jesus at age 12, he had knowledge. He went in the midst of the scholars and everything, in the synagogue there, you know, and challenged them, asked them questions. I said, they were amazed. I mean, how can a 12-year-old know these things? You know, Jesus at age 12, he was able to hold his own with, people that had degrees in philosophy, lawyers, you know, PhD, counselors, and all these things, was right there in their midst. He was able to hold his own. Age 12, he was asking them doctors of law and everything. And they were amazed at the knowledge that he had. So here's what Paul said to Timothy. As a young man, the only way they are not going to despise your youth when you're standing in the midst of aged and supposedly wiser men is you got to show knowledge. He said, give attendance to reading. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 12 to 15. This was Paul's mentoring of Timothy. These are the things you got to do to show that you can hold your own. Glory to God. You know, he said, look, let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Well, the way they are not going to despise your youth is in the next verse. Until I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. And he goes on to say in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Even Paul used to say, look, you guys know my knowledge in the mysteries of God. It's not a boasting thing, but you're establishing, you know, your credentials. You know, even in the world, knowledge is what gives us credentials. Remember what I said, one punchline at the beginning. It at the corridors of influence in the world, knowledge is the king. People want to know, you know, if you want to stand up and speak, you know, sometimes it's your credentials, which are acquired by knowledge, you know, that give you, you know, any respect among scholars, you know, and so forth. The same thing even in the ministry. Study to show yourself approved. Studying gives us knowledge. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved. Now, there are some preachers or, you know, that try to preach without studying. You can see that they stumble all over the place. They fumble. They don't know the scriptures. And what's that all about? I have no business trying to teach this word if you don't know the scriptures. You should know the scriptures. Even Jesus challenged the Jews in John chapter 5 verse 39. Said, search the scriptures. For they are them that testify of me. And you think that you find eternal life in them. So search the scriptures. We're supposed to know these things. But here is a stern warning of when we don't pay attention to knowledge. Now, this is very serious. You know, it's not just a wishful idea that we should have knowledge, you know, because of this verse that we're about to read in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But it doesn't stop there. It says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that you shall be no priest unto me. You know, what we need more of these days are teaching priests. For you to be a teaching priest, you got to have the knowledge of the word of God. But he said, look, you didn't study. You rejected knowledge. So I also will reject you because you have forgotten the law of thy Lord. Because you have to study this law. Know what it says. Comparing scripture with scripture. He said, well, because you have seen that you have forgotten the law of the Lord, I also will forget your children. Wow. I pray that that is not our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus. So let us study to show ourselves approved. Let us acquire the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives. You must study. Now, the problem with many underdeveloped nations is described here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5 and verse 13. Now, some of you may, you know, relate to this if you come from some of those countries, you know, because of, you know, lack of proper knowledge in the right places. You know, so this is very important for us to take note as well. The elements that knowledge can bring into the world. Isaiah chapter 5, you know, and verse 13 says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dry up with thirst. You know, they remain backward because of lack of knowledge. You know, it takes knowledge for you to keep, you know, abreast of advancement in the world. And if you don't, I'm going to even talk about the marketplace in a bit. If you don't have the right knowledge, you will be at a disadvantage. You're going to be at a disadvantage. Even in spiritual things, we are told that, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. Said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Christ. Well, you got to know the things that are freely given you of God in order for you to have peace and to have victory over sin consciousness, for instance. If you don't know the word of God, then the devil is going to have an advantage over you. Glory to God. Even when Jesus, the devil tried to tempt him, Jesus had to use the word. Now, he knew the word. Let me say this also that, look, if you're trying to go into the marketplace, a lot of people try to go into marketplace, start business and so forth. They have no clue what that business is all about. Well, they're going to have a lot of trouble and it may even fail. First thing you got to do is learn the business. Learn business economics as well. Not only learn the specifics, the particulars of that particular business, you got to learn business economics and so on and so forth. People don't do that. They just jump into business and so forth. They make shipwreck because they didn't take time to do the right learning. I'm going to speak more about that in a bit. Let me show you some qualifications. When Nebuchadnezzar asked his recruiters, to get some people, his cabinet. This is what he said in Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. These are the qualities. There are seven qualities in this place that he was looking for. He said to the master of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz was his name, bring certain of the children of Israel. Now, these children of Israel were already of the seed royal. That's right. They were princes. Of the king's seed. He said, children in whom there is no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such that had the ability to stand in the king's palace, whom we might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. I mean, these people can pick up knowledge quickly. They have the ability, they're quick learners because they're already schooled in knowledge. They're schooled in all sciences, and so forth. So seven attributes here, qualifications that he was looking for. One, he had no blemish. Well, they were healthy, even healthy looking. Two, they were well favored. Well, they were princes already. Three, they are skillful in all wisdom. Four, they are cunning in knowledge. My goodness. They know, they have knowledge. They can use their knowledge to bring out witty inventions. They have understanding in science. That's number five. They have the ability to stand in the king's palace. Remember also, Proverbs 22 and verse 29, when we were doing prudence, we talked about if you are diligent and prudent in all your business, you will stand before kings and not before mean men. The ability to stand in the king's palace. And then they have aptitude for learning. I mean, they're like a sponge. They soak up knowledge. They're not going to say, oh, I already know science. They know science. They have cunningness in learning. They have the aptitude for learning even more. These were the kind of people that Nebuchadnezzar tried to surround himself with. No surprise, no wonder that kingdom was so great. They built some technology, the hanging gardens and all of these things. It was amazing. Surrounded himself with people of knowledge. Even Daniel, in those days, he understood by the books, by studying the prophecies of Jeremiah and so forth, he understood the time that the desolations of Jerusalem was coming to an end. And then he began to give himself to intercessory prayer. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 2 says, I understood by the books. Well, he studied. He understood the books. He understood what was written. And he used that knowledge to understand the timing. There are a lot of things that are hidden in this Bible of timings and seasons and various things. And by knowledge, you dig it out. Glory to God. The knowledge of the Holy Spirit, though. Let me even talk to students. In real life, let's make this real. Many of us have been students at different levels. Some of us are still students. I am still a student. I've got two natural degrees, in computer science, a bachelor's, a master's in computer science. And in many areas, I'm considered an expert, an authority in my field. Because I've been doing this for a long time. Remember when I talked about growing your skill into competence? Your talent into skill, your skill into competence, your competence, into expertise, and then finally become an authority. Well, I would like to think that many people actually consider me an authority in many of my fields. There was a time for many years that I did consulting in this country. 14 years. Travel all over the place. You know, I was considered an authority. You know, when I get to a place, you know, because I was considered an authority, I charge them big bucks. You know, it may take me just a few minutes to solve the problem, you know, but, you know, I still charge them a lot of money. You know, and I gave an example. I said, look, there was a consultant, and I, you know, I did that same kind of thing many times. They brought him in, you know, and, you know, he went up to the whiteboard or whatever, and there was a problem to be solved. And there was a description of all kinds of things, you know, on that thing. And he just went there, looked the thing over, and put an X, you know, X marks the spot, right? He put an X somewhere. And then he walked away and said, that's the solution. I charged them $10,000 for like 15 seconds. And they said, you know, they tried to argue with him. He said, no. You know, the knowing where to put that X, hallelujah. And I learned that. I read that in a consulting book when I started consulting. I even studied the art of consulting. I read a book called that. And I studied. When I started out, you know, I thought I had to work many hours in order to make money. Since I was hourly paid, I thought, well, the more hours you can cramp into the day, the more money you can get, you know. So if you can get X dollars per hour and you can make Y hours, then you get X times Y. Later on in life, when I started to read and study the art of consulting, I figured that out, no, I'm not going to spend many hours. I'm going to work less and charge them more. Because I developed my knowledge. See, this is where knowledge gives you an advantage. What you know that others don't know is what gives you an advantage over them. In business, in technology, in the marketplace, anywhere. You know, at the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. Now, when you have that knowledge, you can come and put the X in that place and walk away. And I finally found out how to start charging more. Raise my hourly rate. Doubled my hourly rate. And walk less. And walk away. Smile all the way to the bank. Glory to God. You know, and, well, you know, by knowledge. You know, one time they brought me into a place to do to solve some problem, which they thought would take me 6 months. And I said, cool. You know, I charged them for it. But I solved the problem over one weekend. One weekend. Because they had brought the people in. A lot of people struggled with this thing for months. They couldn't solve it. I come in there, you know, I charge them 6 months worth of work at a high rate. I solve the problem in a weekend. Walk away smiling to all the way to the bank. How do you do that? Study. Improve yourself. Hallelujah. That's why we go to school. Why do we go to school? You know, and you distinguish yourself. You set yourself apart. It's kind of like a look at this pyramid. At the bottom of the pyramid, you see how the pyramid tapers to the top. The pyramid is wider. What separates that top or layers above from layers beneath are the advancement in knowledge. You know, at the bottom of the pyramid, there are multitudes of people in the valley of decision. They don't even know what they're doing. When you start to acquire knowledge, in the olden days, if you had a bachelor's degree, it was sufficient to set you apart from the multitudes. Today, even if you have a master's degree, it doesn't even set you apart from anybody. You've got to get an advanced degree or get specialization in some area. And now you begin to narrow the crowd, you know, narrow the company that you belong into. I'm talking of the spheres of influence now. Knowledge is the king. Now, for a student, when you have studied well, very well, you have confidence when you go to the exam hall. Now, if you have not studied very well, then you'll be afraid of the exam. This is just natural. You know, I know that when I was an active student going to school, you know, certain classes that I knew that I was already an authority in, because I went to do my master's at an older age, I would sit in the front of the class. Glory to God, you know. And then when I dropped something, everybody would say, wow. Now, if I didn't know too much and I was just learning, I'd be scared and sit in the back of the class. You know, and even when people, listen, the reason that many people have stage fright when they are asked to speak and they look at the caliber of people in the audience and they have stage fright is because they don't have knowledge. If they have knowledge, they can hold their own. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't scared because there were doctors of law and philosophy and all these things there. He had knowledge and he could hold his own. When you have knowledge, you can hold your own when you're holding a conversation in the area, you know, of your expertise. It doesn't matter who's in there. Use knowledge and so forth. Now, people of the world who are sought out as being authorities in their fields, they've taken great diligence to study and to acquire knowledge. Now, some people think that's a sore travail, but you have to practice. You know, they are called in the world, they're called consultants sometimes. Now, even in the things of God, you know, knowledge is like something we have to keep coming to get more. Listen to this in Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 14, it talks about the knowledge of the glory of God will be like the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? The expanse of that revelation knowledge that you can get is like the ocean. And I've often said it, look, the learning that you have is like taking a bucket to that ocean. You come back for more. And there's still much more to get. That's even the expanse of the knowledge of the glory of God. At the end of the age, we are told that knowledge will increase. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. And if you look around today, my goodness, knowledge has so much increased. I'm in technology. And many years ago in the 70s, when I went to college to study, we used to have computers that were as big as a room. And we used to have all these punch cards and things like that. You know, some of you who are young may not understand that. And today, computers can be as tiny as your hand. And they have 100 times more power than those computers in those days that would fill up the whole room. Glory to God. There's computers everywhere now. We call them the Internet of Things. They're everywhere. Artificial intelligence is everywhere. Computers are in your car. They're in your wristwatch. They're in your microwave. They're in your fridge. They're everywhere now. Glory to God. Knowledge has increased. Now, sometimes it's used for good. Sometimes it's used for evil. Because the Antichrist, he's going to also use that knowledge to track everybody for evil. We know that's coming. We're seeing signs of it already. But that's not my subject today. So I'm not going to go in that direction. You know, but knowledge will increase. And so must our own knowledge of God also increase. Here's what the way that Paul put it. That I may know him. And we covered this, you know, last week or so when we're doing the walking with God. And we covered the walking in the spirit is seven things that, you know, are involved in walking in the spirit. To know him was one of those things. The knowledge of the Son of God is the goal that we must strive for. You can see I'm bouncing between the physical, the material, and also the spiritual. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, Paul said that I may know him. And even the things that I thought I already gained, I count them as loss so that I may gain even more knowledge of him. Glory to God. You know, Second Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 tells us that, look, whatever, and I've said this multiple times, that spiritual maturity demands that we add to our knowledge. Add things that we already have. Add more on top. Don't take away, but keep adding more. So even the great Apostle Paul was saying that I may know him. And he knew a lot already. One time he said, look, let me speak like a man. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin and so forth. I have this and so forth. I'm a scholar. I studied under this great man and so on. And he began to speak all these things, And yet he said, look, I must learn. One time somebody on my job, one of my direct reports, challenged me and said he learned something new every day. Well, he was just saying it in a meeting. And that thing challenged me. And I said, learn something new every day. I said, well, I don't think I can do that. But I think I can learn something new every week. I was already challenging myself to learn something new every week before he said that. On my job, in the spirit realm, something. I got to learn something new every week. But he said no, that he learned something new every day. He's not a believer. As a matter of fact, he's somebody in the Muslim faith. But he was talking about his learning in the field of technology, that he learned something new every day. I'm like, how in the world did you do that? And that thing challenged me, and I had to put some more fire under myself, because what you know that others don't know is what gave you an advantage. I learned that in The Secret of Consulting. The days when I was a consultant, that was the key, So now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. We've been talking about the sons of God. The ultimate goal of the sons of God in getting to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, it comes by the knowledge of the original Son of God. So when we know him, when we understand him, when we know how he operated, how he rolled, that's what's going to give us knowledge to become like him. It's all there. Ephesians said, look, till we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. So that's the goal. So knowledge is so key in everything we do. Now, we don't want to be like some people who are always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's not what we want to be. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7 talks about that. They are learning, but they are not coming to knowledge of the truth. That's not us. You use the knowledge that you gain to get an advantage. Even in spiritual things, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the last part. That people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Glory to God. Now, when we get to counsel, I'm going to talk some more about how the knowledge, that people have makes them become great counselors, or, what we call in the world today, consultants. It's knowledge that they have, so I'll be talking more about that when we get to counsel. But today, here are some four additional things that you must remember about knowledge. Now, I've already said some of them. It's like a summary. It is what you know that others don't know that gives you an advantage. This is why we go to school for many years. And the people that set themselves apart, there are even some jobs that have some minimum, educational qualifications and requirements. Some jobs say you got to have a master's degree in this or that, or you got to have this or that, or this and that, and so forth. You find that more and more these days, the lower level degrees don't even get you anywhere, because everybody and their brother has one of those things now. So you got to get a little more to get ahead, and so forth like that. Now, you need knowledge. Number two, you need knowledge to become competitive actually to remain competitive in the marketplace and to keep up with technology. You need knowledge. I mean, people who don't have knowledge of computers, you know, they're not going to get anywhere in the marketplace today, even if their business has nothing to do with computers. Because everything is not, it's like when we were going to school and we were young, you have to learn math and English and everything. No matter, even if you wanted to be a fine artist. Today, you know, if you don't know those things, and you don't know, I mean, I've known people that come from Nigeria coming to this country. I mean, they, you know, they're older, they're not kids, and they moved over here. And they're trying to take, you know, some exams, and everything is in computers. And they are struggling because everything is in computers. And they never learned that, you know, well, and they do poorly in that exam just because the exam is computer based. Not that they don't know the content, you know, but because the thing was computer based and they were not skilled in computers, they struggled. They couldn't move fast enough through the screens and stuff like that. And they did poorly in that exam just because they couldn't keep up with technology. Now, knowledge, number three, is what gives you a platform for influence, for wealth and riches. We already called that out when we read Proverbs 24. Knowledge is what fills the house with pleasant things. Now, number four, powerful and great leaders of tomorrow are always learning and reading today. And this is one of the things I told the young folks in our church when I taught this. While those who wallow in poverty tomorrow spend their time today, you know, whiling away their time, watching television, playing video games, or doing things that have no value at all, you know, or just partying and doing all this stuff. Well, that's not going to lead to witty inventions. So knowledge is the key in the corridors of influence. Knowledge is the key. The knowledge that you have is what sets you apart. Now let's quickly look at some of the benefits of knowledge. It's like a summary. I've already talked about this already. Knowledge will cause your house, which is really your life, to be filled with all precious things and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24 verses 2 and 3. I already mentioned that. Knowledge about many things is essential to success in your life. You don't have to be an expert in everything. But Ecclesiastes 1:13 tells you, this man sought out many things. And that's why the people come to search his knowledge from everywhere. Queen of Sheba traveled halfway around the world, you know, to come and hear some things from him. Knowledge will elevate you to great heights. Proverbs 22 and 29. Knowledge can give you influence and bring you power, brings you promotion, influence. The knowledge that these young men had, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their knowledge of science, their knowledge and their capacity to learn even more, to learn the language and the tongue of the Chaldeans and so on and so forth, their capacity to learn, their knowledge that they already had, gave them influence, caused them to be selected. Hallelujah. Now, what gives you an advantage or strength over others is what you know that people don't know. Well, let me give you even a scripture for that. In Proverbs chapter 24, and let's look at verse 5. Now, you have to, you know, some of these things you have to read between the lines. And I'm going to read between the lines for you. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Now, strength is an advantage. Hallelujah. So, knowledge is what gives you an advantage. That's really what this verse is saying. You know, advantage over others. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. So all these things that I'm saying, I'm not just saying them. They have foundations in the scriptures. Now, so knowledge and wisdom together will bring you stability and even strength of salvation. Wow. Isaiah, let's read Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6 to see what the scripture has to say. And again, we have to discern between the lines. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Well, let me read from verse 5 just for some context. The Lord is exalted, he dwelleth on high, that fills Zion with judgment and righteousness. You know, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. Wow. Glory to God. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and even the strength of salvation. And the fear of the Lord is what can bring you into that treasure. Glory to God. So many, many amazing things about knowledge. The knowledge of God brings strength for exploits. We read that already in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, or I refer to it. Now let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 15 to about 23. Now this is the prayer of the new covenant believer. This is not the prayer of unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot pray this prayer. And I've taught this that, look, let our prayer not be like the unbeliever's prayer. This is what believer's prayer should look like. Wherefore, Ephesians 1 and 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We've got to know him, folks. Hallelujah. The Lord said, look, let no man glory in anything. But if you are going to glory, glory that you know me, that I'm the one that execute and love judgment and righteousness and so forth. The knowledge of God. So important, even in our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God is what brings, you know, the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. See, again, how knowledge comes in there. To know the hope of his calling. To know what the riches of his glory are in the inheritance of the saints. For you to know what the exceeding greatness of his power is towards us who believe. All these things, you know, by knowledge. Hallelujah. Praise God. So knowledge is the key, even in spiritual things. Now, this is not carnal knowledge, though. This is the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we need knowledge. Now, we need even natural knowledge in these things that I've talked about. But we also need spiritual knowledge in the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. And let me look quickly at verse 11 and perhaps verse 12 as well. Isaiah 53. It talks about, you know, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Glory to God. You know. So, my righteous servant, through his knowledge, he will justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Well, there are some things that Jesus knew, which they didn't know. Jesus knew of mercy. He knew of grace. They didn't know it. They just knew the law. They just knew, you know, the letter of the law. And Jesus knew some other things. And by his knowledge, he was able to justify many. Isn't that wonderful? When we have the right, you know, if we don't have the, let me say this also. Here's another punchline. You know, if you do not have knowledge, of the things that God has given you, then Satan will have an advantage over you. Hallelujah. But when you have knowledge, see, knowledge is what gives us the ability to tap into the things of God. And we have to keep increasing knowledge. You know, there was a man, a mighty man in the New Testament, right? Called Apollos. I mean, he was a mighty teacher. He knew, but he knew only the baptism of John. But with what he knew, he was able to mightily, you know, convict the Jews. Hallelujah. But when Aquila and Priscilla found him, right? They brought him in, you know, and they showed him more perfectly, glory to God, the ways of their kingdom. You can read more about Aquila and Priscilla and all that stuff in Acts chapter 18. You know, but this man, you know, when they were able to show him some more knowledge and expounded unto him more perfectly the way of the Lord, he became even mightier. So let's take a look at Acts, you know, chapter 18, perhaps around from verse 25 or so. You'll see how this Apollos man was already a very mighty man in scriptures. But he only knew the baptism of John. Right? But even with the only thing that he knew, he was very mighty in the scriptures. You know, so we start at verse 24. There was a certain Jew named Apollos. He was born at Alexandria. An eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. You know, he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but he knew only the baptism of John. So his knowledge was limited, but he was mighty in the scriptures. And as he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and then Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They said, wow, this man is great. You know, and then they said, well, they took him in to themselves, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And the man learned additional knowledge, you know, and when he left, the brethren, you know, and so forth, exhorting them and all that. I mean, he mightily convinced the Jews, both publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. I mean, he gained more knowledge. So we should never think that we know it all. We can always add more knowledge, you know, to the things that we already have. So our prayer today, as we ramp this up, you know, I'm going to have us pray. You know, remember that the knowledge of the scriptures will help you to understand the things that are freely given to us by God. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. If we don't have that knowledge, then the devil is going to gain an advantage over us. But if we have the knowledge, hallelujah. He said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to the things of God, it's not just human knowledge, it's the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Well, when it comes to the things of the world, that's why Jesus said, give to Caesar what Caesar, give to God what's God. in the things of the world, we learn knowledge from school, from, you know, trade school, from these, from, you know, in the marketplace, we gain knowledge, you know, to use in the marketplace and all that. In the things of the Lord, we learn knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Martha was cumbered with many things, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And when Martha came to complain that Jesus should tell her sister to get up and help her, Jesus said, Martha, you are cumbered with so many things, but Mary has chosen the one needful thing. Sit down there, right here, and learn from the feet of Jesus. So that is so powerful. Now, let me throw out a prayer point today. Lord, give me this pillar of wisdom, which is knowledge in my life. Help me to give my heart to seek out knowledge, that my life may be filled with treasures and precious things. Hallelujah. Help me to grow in the knowledge and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24, I alluded to that before, but I didn't give you the scripture for it. I'll give you that now. You know, this is what, you know, the Lord wants us to rejoice in. Hallelujah. Praise God. He talks about, you know, if any man will glory, you know, well, don't glory in the things that you think you know, but glory in this fact. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, this is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. So this knowledge is so important. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening to this today. Help us to gain the capacity to be instructed in the things of the Lord. And even the capacity to learn, even in our day, the things that are necessary to stay competitive in this world. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 also says, you know, that you should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that we grow in grace. I pray that we grow in knowledge so that our lives may be filled with precious and pleasant things. We pray, Lord, that we have knowledge in all aspects. Give us the capacity to learn, even as Daniel and his companions had the capacity to learn. They were already skilled in many areas, but they had the capacity to learn even more. And they got an advantage and promotion. Father, help us, Lord. Give us this advantage. Give us this learning ability, the capacity to learn the things of God, which we must learn in order to grow into the knowledge of Christ. And even the things that we must learn in this world. For the Bible says the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of the kingdom. But they learn things that they should know, which we don't know. And so they have an advantage. May the Lord give us understanding in all these things that we have spoken today. And that we, through knowledge, may also gain advantage that we need and position ourselves for even greater things as we use that knowledge to acquire treasures and increase in even in the things of God. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.